I'm just wondering who is actually excited enough about abortion that they're like, yeah, and I'm going to help pay for someone else's abortion too.
There are crazy people in New York who would be all for that. Time for another episode of Dear Jane. I am Scott, and one of my favorite people in the whole wide world, Marcy Little.
Thanks, Scott.
I have to say that because I tease you so much, but I wanted to go on the record with what a huge Marcy fan I am. And now that should buy me another year of teasing. So that should.
I don't know. You've been on the shtick this week of forgetting my name. So.
It's because I occasionally call you what's your name? Mm-hmm. What's her name? Lots of things going on in the pro-life world. We're just going to touch on here real quick. If people have not been following headlines, there's things happening both here and I guess is Puerto Rico abroad. I don't know if that's correct.
I don't know that falls in that category.
No, probably not. But some big news there and some other things happening. So let's go down the list real fast of all the things that are going on, starting with Puerto Rico. Some big news there on here in the last couple of weeks on how they're sort of starting to recognize personhood, really.
Mm-hmm. If you've been following headlines, especially in the pro-life space, you've likely seen this headline, new Puerto Rican personhood law signed by the governor. And I think if that's all you read, you would, I think, logically, rightfully assume, oh, personhood, great. That means no more abortions in Puerto Rico. And in fact, that's not the case. But I'm curious, Scott, if you think this is like a stepping stone piece of legislation that was signed, like maybe laying the foundation.
Yep. A lot of pro-life people were happy about it. But then we saw some people like our friend Raul Reyes and some others say, well, it's not exactly what it's cracked up to be. To me, it's about what was the intent. If the intent is this is a step in the right direction, then that's great. But again, you know, it kind of gets back to what we were talking about with the abolitionists. People want to go from step A to Z like that. And that's just not realistic. It's not realistic. And the other side has never gone about it that way. They have always been pleased with incrementalism. So they can look back 5 years later and say, oh, let's see how far we've come. They've always played it that way. If this is that in Puerto Rico, then I say that that's fantastic. If this is step one, setting up step two, I think that's great.
Yep. Yeah. Basically, if I'm remembering correctly, it says unborn babies are human beings. Is this related to like homicide laws maybe? So if a pregnant woman is murdered, it would count as double homicide. So it speaks to that criminal code. It doesn't speak to existing abortion law. So abortion as a result is still legal in Puerto Rico. But again, it could be setting the foundation. If we're going to recognize the unborn as being persons in one code, maybe we then shift and begin recognizing them in other codes.
And I think there is some indication that maybe this is a step, just a step in the right direction. Actually, this was an intentional step is what I'm trying to say, because there have been other pieces of legislation in Puerto Rico recently that have been good. So for example, they're cracking down on gender transition. They did that recently. And they've got just some other laws that they're starting to pass there because supposedly, and I'm reading now an account from one of the senators down there, you know, supposedly the people of Puerto Rico are by and large pro-life. But of course, their elected officials have never really reflected that. But they are also influenced by, so there's Puerto Rico law, but there's also the United States law, federal law takes precedent. And so like when the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, that influenced things there in Puerto Rico. But there are some other good positive steps being taken in Puerto Rico that makes me think that this is an intentional act.
Which is great news. So I think it's good that people understand this in and of itself didn't change abortion in Puerto Rico, but it could be a stepping stone to changing access to abortion there, which would be a good thing.
Yeah, it is. And again, we're always going to have people within our movement say, well, it's not enough. And they get hung up on it's not enough. Mm-hmm. I have a hard time with people like that. I got to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. Yes, we all want the same thing. Mm-hmm. We're just not going to get there overnight. And if you go for too big of a bite at the apple at once, it's going to backfire.
And to your point earlier about how the abortion movement has been mm-hmm. happy to take incremental steps, just think back to the 90s. What was their mm-hmm. rallying cry then? It was safe, legal, and rare.
Right.
That's all we want. Mm-hmm. We just want abortion to be safe, legal, and rare.
One
we don't want
step.
It to be widespread. Right. Mm-hmm. It should still be rare, but in the rare cases that it's needed, it should be safe and it should be legal for those like exceptions was kind of the talking point.
Yep.
And then that just became safe, legal, and rare, safe, legal, and rare, or it's a woman's right to choose what to do with her own body. These slogans that slowly infiltrate the culture and how we think about these things as a culture to now pushing for these statewide abortion, legalizing abortion statewide in very conservative red states that have no safety considerations for women. It's all just about on demand at any point in pregnancy abortion. And they've been able to shift the culture into acceptance of that through their incremental
approach. Yeah, in the course of 25 years, we've gone from safe, legal, and rare to shout your abortion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it's that simple. Mm-hmm. And so they have been happy with going incrementally, and they've had success, unfortunately, mm-hmm. doing that. And I think we need to celebrate our successes when we have them.
Yeah.
Because they're a step in the right direction. Speaking of crazy states, even if you don't live in the state of New York, which neither one of us do, you need to pay attention to what's going on in some of these bright, bright blue states, because all these crazy, there are crazy laws and legislation introduced every year as it relates to sanctity of life in these blue states, specifically New York, California, Colorado, these places. And even if you don't live in these states, you need to know that it's just other states are watching and they like to mimic these laws. So I'm going to run some of these laws by you in New York and see what you think about
which, what. To be clear, New York is, abortion is already very legal
in
the state of New York. So I'm very interested to hear.
No, yeah. This is way past this. So here's the first one. You know how when you you fill out your state tax forms and like in my state, you can choose to donate $1 to like the World War II Memorial Fund or mm-hmm. something like that. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to have what they call the Abortion Access Fund in New York. People can check it on your tax returns to help pay for the public funding of abortion.
I'm so curious if that passes, which I'm sure it will, how many people will actually, like, I'm just wondering who is actually excited enough about abortion that they're like, yeah, and I'm going to help pay for someone else's abortion, too.
There are crazy people in New York who would be all for that. Oh, yeah. These. I'm sorry, I don't want to stereotype, but these crazy liberal women that we're seeing that just lose their mind. I saw such a fascinating, this is a sort of a sidetrack, but I saw such a fascinating theory the other day. Because if you'll notice, a lot of these protests and that sort of thing, it's these liberal women who are the most vocal. They're the ones shrieking and all this kind of stuff. And the theory was, this was a Christian commentator, woman who said that these women have been told for so long that they don't need men, they don't need children, they don't need all of this stuff. And women are wired to steer passion somewhere and to protect and to nurture. And so these women now are misdirecting it to this crazy stuff because they've been misdirected their whole life. I don't know. It was just a really, really interesting theory. And I don't want to get a sidetrack too much, but yeah. I could see women contributing to that in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. That's fascinating. Well, especially if you look at it from a rights perspective, they've been told they have this right. And now it feels like men are coming along or other women are coming along even to try to chip away at what they feel like is a right. Mm-hmm. And they, yeah, it's a misdirected sense of protection. That's interesting.
Yep. Next one, they would require search engines, so Bing, Google, Yahoo, all those, to include a notice to users when searching. Oh, here's another one. So as a part of this, you know how they like to demean pregnancy centers? So yep. they like to call them crisis pregnancy or fake clinics, all that kind of stuff.
Fake clinics, yeah.
They're trying to formalize this new acronym, which is LSPC, these LSPCs. That's what they are. They're LSPCs.
What does that stand for?
Limited Services Pregnancy Centers. So they actually...
Are they going to make every other health clinic be called limited? Isn't every health clinic limited in some sense in what services they offer?
But see, since in their by their definition, since these clinics don't offer abortion, they're limited in services. So they want women to know, well, they're limited.
They're
services.
Limited by definition.
Right. So they're going to have to, this law would require search engines. When anybody searches any kind of, for an LSPC, and again, they're trying to normalize the acronym, that they, that these centers do not have medical professionals on site, which by the way, most of them do. Mm-hmm. And it would require Facebook, YouTube, all of them, to include consumer notice reports on any post or advertisement. So any post, any advertisement, there would have to be some sort of disclaimer like what you see for cigarette ads, I guess, which you can be sure would be verbiage approved by the state that would really go after these. So that's another example of what they're trying to do.
I wonder if they're going to make abortion clinics in the state of New York. I wonder if they're going to have consumer notices saying, by the way, if you want to keep your baby, this clinic is not going to help you do that.
Well, and you know, anymore, it would be interesting to do some research because these are the same people. They gripe that there aren't medical professionals at pregnancy centers. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they don't want to require medical professionals to do abortions.
No.
And so it would seem to me that they would need to put the same disclaimer on a lot of these. I don't know exactly what the rules are in New York, but that's certainly where they want to go.
There's probably less medical oversight of abortion clinics than pregnancy centers. That's wild. Yeah, at pregnancy centers, they have to have an actual physician sign off on all of the ultrasounds that they do.
Yeah.
Who are administered in the first place by medical professionals.
Yeah. Now, here's one in New York. Now, the thing we have to understand about the other side is they're not just fanatics. They've got smart people, just like we have smart people. Mm-hmm. One of the things that our smart people have started to do recently is you can access insurance data to learn more about abortion tourism. You can learn more. For example, it's the insurance data that was studied, that recent EPCC report that came out about the dangers of women, you know, who take the abortion pill, they end up in ER, things like that. That was taken from insurance data. So our smart people with people like Life and Belay and others, they were able to really study that and gain some insightful knowledge from us. So now the other side's figuring that out. And what they want to do in New York, and I know this is also popping up in some other states, is they want to prohibit centers from, there are these LSPCs that they like to use now, from sharing data with insurance companies. And that includes data not covered by HIPAA, which I don't fully understand what, I mean, that last part confuses me. But they figured out what we're able to do with insurance data now, so now they don't want centers to share any kind of information with insurance companies or whatever. Yeah.
So they want freedom of choice, but they don't want freedom to informed choice. They don't want women to know information that could be revealed by these insurance claims. Is that probably it? Like if we're using that data to warn women about the dangers of the abortion pill, for example, is it that they don't want us to have access to that data, or they're not wanting pregnancy centers to contribute to data pools?
I think they want us not to have access to that because we've been able to use that access to point out, you know, again, the dangers of the abortion pill. I know it's very, very useful in determining abortion tourism. because you can see where like their initial where their the initial care begins and then trace the journey to an abortion clinic, that sort of thing. So I think that they realize how useful that information has been for the pro-life side, and now they're wanting to prohibit that data from going to insurance companies, but at the same time they would argue they want insurance companies to cover abortions. Doesn't make any sense.
They want it both ways. That's wild because the pro-life movement does use that data about abortion tourism. If you're not familiar with what we're talking about when we say abortion tourism, it's when, let's say, a woman travels from a state like Texas where abortion is illegal to a state like Colorado where abortion is very legal and they have their abortion there. That's considered abortion tourism. I wonder, too, if that has to do with a lot of these states are passing laws now where women could be prosecuted in their home state, mm-hmm. even for traveling mm-hmm. to get an abortion. So I know Colorado has passed legislation like that, that I'm not in Colorado anymore, but Colorado won't share that information with yep. prosecutors yep. in other states because they're trying to protect women. Yep. That's wild.
Here's another, this one's dumb.
Wow.
They want to limit any state-sponsored travel to pro-life states. So in other words, let's say they've got a state worker who wants to go to a conference in Florida. State's not going to pay for it. It's so stupid.
Oh, my gosh.
But that's how ridiculous they've gotten.
That feels reminiscent of, it's not really the same thing, but that makes me think of the Berlin Wall. We got to keep our people and our resources here. We don't want you going out to see how great it might be in other states or to support any sort of tax revenue.
This is the most egregious one. They want to, this is all in the state of New York. They want their family leave policies to include abortions. So once you have an abortion, you can take family leave. And what's interesting is the verbiage is in there to recover after an abortion.
Wait a second, Scott. I thought abortion was like taking Tylenol. I want family leave. I had a bad headache yesterday. Remember how I had to leave a meeting and get meds? I would like to request family leave for my recovery time.
So here's exactly what they're saying. they've said taking the pills is like taking Tylenol. They've even said that having an abortion is safer than giving birth. Yeah?
Yeah.
And, oh, by the way, we'll want to give you time to recover after that procedure.
Are they going to have, did they say how long?
I forget now, it's not in front of me, but it's several weeks. Yeah.
So like actual paid family leave.
Yep.
Wow.
You're going to kill off your family and you get to take family leave for it, even though it's really just nothing. I mean, it's no big deal. But you still need to recover.
There's nothing really to recover from. Just have a heating pad on hand, maybe for a day. Get some chocolates. Mm-hmm. That's all you need.
So there you go. And you know, the more that we're able to point out how they talk out of both sides of their mouth, I think you're going to have reasonable people in the middle who say, wait a second, that doesn't add up.
Well, that's on every single one of these that you've mentioned. It's talking both sides of their mouth.
And I still do believe, maybe naively, that there are enough reasonable people in the middle in our country who can say, okay, I thought I believed this, but all the contradictions that you're saying makes no sense to me. Maybe I should revisit this. Mm-hmm. I'm hopeful that's the case.
I think that could be the case if they hear about it. People don't hear about bills that are introduced to their state legislatures. Have these been like introduced, assigned to committees, or have they just been filed? Yeah. They've been assigned to
committees. And in New York, I would expect that they'll gain a lot of traction, if not go all the way. All these goofy bills. Uh-huh. And again, even if you don't live in New York, don't assume. I mean, it's a copycat industry. I've been to these these conferences where state lawmakers are sharing ideas. Here's what we did in our state. You should do it in your state. And so.
Yeah, our side does it, but certainly the other side does it. And New York, California, Colorado certainly are some of those model states.
Well, like, look what and it's not unusual, even as crazy as these are, it's not unusual for them to pop up in red states. But like you said, they get ignored immediately. They don't get assigned a committee or anything. So they pop up in almost every state. It's just a matter of how much traction will they get. So even if it's not happening in your state now, number one, don't assume that's the case. But you need to, people need to keep on top of it. And it's like you said, we need to bring more attention to this. And that's on us as a movement, right? I mean, it's not going to happen in mainstream news. And so it's on us, you know, talking about it, sharing with family, that sort of thing, which we've done a lot of episodes on, right? How do you talk about it? How do you bring it up? How do you broach it? That's something I still struggle with, to be honest. Because, you know, you don't want to, like, you know, happy Thanksgiving, everyone. Could you pass the potatoes? What do you think about abortion? I mean, it's great. I haven't.
But I think maybe a way to go about it is to just ask questions about the inconsistencies. Like, hey, what do you guys think about this proposed family leave policy? I thought, you know, what I hear is that abortion is taking Tylenol. Why do you think they're proposing paid leave?
At the very least, the next time it comes up, your crazy aunt brings it up. You can, when she says, well, it's just like taking Tylenol. Well, then why is it that you need time to recover in the state of New York? And just the more you're equipped with stuff like this, I think the better.
Well, and I think we'd love if you would share this episode just to spread the word about, I haven't seen headlines about these. Like, this was genuinely a surprise to me, Scott, you reading through these. So we'd love for you to share this, get the word out about what's happening in crazy New York, and maybe check to see what bills have been introduced in your state legislature. You can usually just Google, you know, your state and then what bills have been introduced, and it'll pop up. You can look at some of the committee assignments. Health and Human Services is usually one. But it's a way to kind of help other people start asking some of these questions. So we'd love if you're watching this on Facebook or Instagram, if you'd share the reel or hit subscribe and follow us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Help us spread the word about this too, so we can have other people asking good questions, starting good conversations.
We always want to hear from you. We also, DearJane.org is our website, and we've got a contact button there where you can get a hold of us. We would just love to hear from you if you've got questions, if you've got guest ideas. We also have a way to give. If you want to support this work, support the effort of getting the truth out there, that sort of thing, that's something that would be welcomed as well. So we're always happy to hear from people who are listening to this, to the podcast.
Guest ideas, topic ideas. If you see something crazy that's happening in your state and you want us to talk about it or poke around and see what we can find, we'd love to hear from you on that. Or just abortion-related topics that maybe are difficult for you to wrap your head around or think about how to talk about.
Yeah, we're crazy enough to talk about it.
Yeah, we will.
That's right.
Send it our way.
Thanks for listening this week. Next week, we'll be back with a brand new episode of Dear Jane.